The first question is, what constitutes taking the Lord's name in vain? This is, I think, a reference to the third commandment. Is it just the typical phrases used today, like OMG, etc., or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we often get that question. Different folks have a curiosity about that. And what you find with all of the Ten Commandments is that, very simply, they are often much more spiritual and much more thoughtful than we often realize. You know, in the seventh commandment, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Many times people viewed that as just an external thing. But Jesus says, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so Jesus came, and in the Gospels, he really exemplified the Ten Commandments. And he said that they are much more than just external things, but they are issues of the heart. And Jesus wants to correct our hearts. He wants to renew our hearts. He wants to recreate our hearts so that what's on the inside is also reflective of what's on the outside. And so when you take a look at that particular commandment, taking the Lord's name in vain, it is much more than just simply the expression, oh my, I'm not even going to say it, or this or that. It's not just a verbal. But the Bible indicates that when we give our lives to Christ, he gives us his name. Amen? We are a Christian. We are a new believer. And just like when a woman marries a man, or two people get married, typically, not in every case, but many times the woman will remove her last name and take on her husband's last name, as indicated in Genesis when it says that a man will leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and they shall become one together, right? And so we're becoming one. Likewise, when we enter into a covenant relationship with God, we are taking on his name. We are his children now. And not just the words we speak, but how much of our life reflects on him. Everything, right? Everything. So it's not just simply the words I say, but how I live my life. The Bible says when Jesus lives in us, is there going to be a difference in the way that we live our lives? The choices Absolutely. We make, the actions we carry out, the words we speak, the things that we do. Now, let me be clear about this. It's not what you do that gets you saved. But listen, did you know that you're saved by works? Right now, somebody's getting mad. They're saying, I knew that preacher from It Is Written was about works. No, you are saved by works. The works that Jesus did on the cross, those are the Amen. Works that you're saved by.
Amen.
But not your own works. You can only be saved by the grace that God gives you through the life of Jesus. So the Ten Commandments, once again, friends, are not what we do to be saved. It's what we do when we are saved.
That's right.
And when we are saved, we are transformed by the grace of God, by the love of God, by the Spirit of God, and we live new lives in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what God calls us to do.
Amen.
Hope that's helpful.
Yes, excellent. Thank you, Wes. The second question this morning is going to church on the Sabbath part of God's commandment to keep it holy?
You know, sometimes this question comes from people who also ask, do I need to go to church to be saved? And people have this mantra now, well, I don't believe in organized religion, so I don't need to go to church. Well, I always ask them the question, so does that mean you believe in unorganized religion? Is God organized?
Yes.
God's organized. There's nothing wrong with organization. The trouble comes when people get the idea that you are saved because you go to church. Well, there's lots of people that have gone to church who were lost. There's lots of people who didn't go to church and will be saved. And so going to church doesn't save you. A relationship with Christ saves you. However, there is something special. The Bible calls the Sabbath a holy convocation. And a convocation is where God's people come together. Some people say, well, I can just watch a sermon home on Sabbath on my television. And people say, well, I have a personal relationship with God, therefore I don't need church. Well, the reality is this. There are certain things that you get in your private time with God that you can't get at church.
It's true.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things you get from church that you and other fellow believers that you don't get at home in your private devotions. So what the Bible says is that we need to have, guess which one?
Both.
Both. And in the book of Hebrews, Paul talks about coming together on the Sabbath. I'm going to just quickly refer to this. Hebrews chapter 4, and it's a very, very powerful verse. So let me just get there real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, Paul is talking about finding rest in Jesus through salvation. And what he does is he actually compares it to the Sabbath rest, okay? And so he says, there remains therefore, verse 6 here is what I'm in, verse 9. He says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Now, he's been talking about rest for the entire chapter, and that rest is referring to the salvation that we find in Jesus. But then he transitions in verse 9, and he says, there remains a rest for the people of God. The actual word in Greek there is sabbatismos, which means Sabbath rest. And then he says, for he who has entered his rest, talking about the rest of salvation, has ceased from his works as God did from his. Now, how did God rest from his works? Well, up in verse 4, it says, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. So here's the point that Paul's making. When we find the rest that we have in Christ Jesus of salvation, the outward display of that is keeping the what? Keeping the Sabbath. And sometimes people accuse Adventists and they accuse Sabbath-keeping Christians. They say, oh, you keep the Sabbath, you're trying to be saved by works. Well, friends, here's the point that Paul is making, and don't miss this. The point that Paul is making is very simply this. Every Sabbath, when I cease from my regular labor, and I cease from my daily work, and I enter into that time of rest with Jesus, I'm making a statement to the world that I cannot be saved by my works. I can only be saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And that's why I stop my daily work as a symbol. I cannot be saved by works. I can only be saved by grace. See, that's the whole point of the Sabbath. And that's what Paul is saying here. So is it necessary to go to church? Well, I have a great question for you. Unless you're sick or you have some problem or whatever, my goodness, why wouldn't you want to go to church? You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you want to go and be with God's people? So Paul addresses that. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one of you come short of the example. And then in chapter 10, Paul says something else very much similar. He says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner is of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So, friends, the Bible says that as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Christ, we should be meeting together even what? Even more. So he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, because the Sabbath is a special time to come together as the people of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen?
So, do we have to go to church to be saved? No. But if we are saved, why wouldn't we want to go? There may be an indication of a deeper problem there or a deeper issue. And certainly with COVID and things, we've had this whole world that was thrust upon us. But outside of that, friends, what joy do we get from coming together with God's people? Great joy. Amen.
All right. Our third question this morning, is it okay to shop and go out to eat on the Sabbath as long as I am not working myself? What if I am sick and need medicine?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. And people often ask this question because they want to know, what does God ask us to do or not do on the Sabbath? Well, the truth of the matter is, there's much more that God encourages us to do on the Sabbath than there is that He says, that may not be the best for you. Now, right in the commandment, you know that part of the Sabbath commandment is to work. Did you know that? not work on the Sabbath, but he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Mm-hmm. And so you do all your business and all your work for 6 days, and then God says, rest on the Sabbath. Now let's look at that real quickly in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son, your daughter, your male or female servant, the cattle. And then he says this, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now, if you go through the Bible, you find many examples where God's people would cease their labor on the Sabbath. They didn't work, and they didn't allow anyone else to work for them. You can write this chapter down. I'm not going to go through it now, but Nehemiah chapter 13. There were people who were in the gates that were buying and selling on the Sabbath. And he told them, that's not what you should be doing. And they did it again. And he actually says, if you keep doing that, I'm going to come out and lay hands on you. He was pretty strong about it. But what is that principle of buying and selling or having others serve us? It's very, very simple. It's not the issue of giving money or making that kind of transaction. I mean, we don't. God calls us not to do that. But it's about living to the greatest ideal that God has for us as a people. What's the deeper principle? Very simply this, one word, freedom. What does that mean? It means this. In a corporation or a company, you have a hierarchy, don't you? You have the regular workers, and then you have the line supervisor, and then you have the department manager, and then you have, you know, maybe some other levels of authority, and then you have the plant manager, and then you have the owner. How does the owner stand in comparison to the regular worker? Oh, he's like, you know what I'm saying? The worker's way down here. And the worker does everything. The worker is in subjection to the owner of the company. Does that make sense? And what God says is that on the Sabbath, there is freedom from that type of thinking. And we all come together as one at the foot of the cross, at the foot of Jesus. That's what the Sabbath reminds us of. Does that make sense? And so God says, I set you free from the world's hierarchy. I set you free from the world's burden. I set you free from the world's expectations. I set you free from the burdens and difficulty of this life. The Sabbath is a gift to man. Amen? Amen. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So, what's going to happen if God releases me from the burden of my employer and then I go out and have somebody else do that for me? Does that make sense? Am I offering them the same freedom that Jesus gave me? The Bible says, neither the stranger that is within your gates. Now, we don't have what we call servants today, but you go to the restaurant and that person is serving you for that hour, right? You're paying them to work for you. And you say, well, I don't work on the Sabbath because God says keep the Sabbath day. But then I would then have someone else work for me. You understand the point. The principle is freedom. Jesus sets us free on the Sabbath. And he wants us to give and extend that same freedom to who? To others around us. As an example and as a witness of all that Jesus has done for us. Amen. And by the way, one of the greatest things we can do on the Sabbath is to get out in nature. You guys have a lot of wonderful nature here in Oregon and Washington. And every time I go into nature and I see the majesty of the beauty of the mountains and the trees and all this kind of thing, it's a reminder that the same power that God used at creation is the same power that is at work in my life for redemption. Amen. And it's an encouragement to us. It brings joy to us. So I hope that helps answer that question a little bit. The main principle is freedom. So what happens if I'm sick or something? I have some emergency. Well, Jesus said, if the ox falls in the ditch, what do? You leave it there till next week, right? No, what do? You go and you pull it out. Yep. And of course, if you're sick, go get the medicine. Of course, if you have an issue, go take care of it. But not an issue that could wait till another time. Why do we think about that? Because God wants us to be free from the cares and worries of the world so that we can enjoy the greatest blessing that He intends through the Sabbath, which is focused communion with Him and with each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Hope that answers that. I think that's the only questions we have for this morning. We're going to talk real briefly about our upcoming topic this morning. Tonight, out with the old and in with the new, the subject that the devil hates the most. What is the subject that the devil hates and he does not want you to hear? We'll do that tonight at 7 p.m. Tomorrow and Sunday, we will be off. And then Tuesday evening, God's Prescription Reset, a very powerful topic. Wednesday night, the Antichrist Part 1, and then Friday night, the Antichrist Part 2. Now, friends, some of you here this morning may not have been to the meeting. You say, well, there we go with some of those prophetic topics. We've been preaching Christ fully and thoroughly every single night of the meetings, and it has been wonderful. Those of you that have been here, how many of you would attest to that? And I want to encourage you to come. If you've not been here, I encourage you to come tonight and come throughout this week. It will be a great blessing, and God will bless you for studying His Word. Amen?
Amen.
Anything else, Pastor Tim?
No, you covered it good.
All right.
Looking forward to having you all continue to come out and be part of this journey that we're on together.
Amen. Well, we're going to have, before our topic this morning, the final reset. We're going to talk about hell this morning. This is not exactly the topic I would choose for a Sabbath morning, but that's just where we're at in our series. And we're going to really, I think, uncover many beautiful truths about the character of God.